He wakes up, a giant spider is tying him to a tree. He draws his sword, fights the spider in the dark, and kills it. And Tolkien said the killing of the giant spider, all by himself, with no one else around, without Gandalf, without the dwarves, changed Mr. Baggins. And that's part of Bilbo's growth. He can now do things on his own. Remember, he was hired to be the burglar, just to go into the dragon's lair and steal things. But now he's becoming a hero of his own. When the dwarves are then captured by the elves and kept in prison because they won't tell the elves what they're trying to do because they don't want the elves to ask for a share of the treasure, Bilbo is able to rescue them using the ring, float them down some barrels to the Long Lake. There, Thorin convinces the men of Lake Town to give them provisions to go and try to get the treasure back from the dragon. And then we come to the climax of the story. The dragon is living underneath the Lonely Mountain, which used to be the dwarves' kingdom. He's gathered together all the dwarves' treasure and the treasure of the neighboring towns and the city of Dale, and he sleeps on it. At the Lonely Mountain, Bilbo puts on his magic ring, sneaks through the secret door, and goes down to see the sleeping dragon. And Tolkien says that was the bravest thing Mr. Baggins ever did. Everything that happened afterwards was nothing compared to the battle he fought in the tunnel all alone. This is really important. There's no medieval epic that you could ever find that says that the hero's internal struggle against abstract fear, okay, because he hasn't seen the dragon yet. The dragon's down at the bottom of the tunnel. He hasn't seen a dragon. So he's fighting against his own fear of the dark and of what's ahead. And that's the real battle. That makes The Hobbit so distinctively 20th century, in a way that none of Tolkien's sources are. Bilbo goes down after he fights that battle. He steals a cup and comes back up. That's taken directly from Beowulf, where a thief or a servant, it's not clear from the Beowulf manuscript, sneaks into the dragon's barrow and takes a cup. And I think, again, Tolkien is working on a crux, on a very difficult passage. In Beowulf, it's not clear if it's a slave or a servant or something like that. And with Bilbo, he gets called later on the servant of the dwarves. But is he a thief? Is he a burglar? What is he really at this moment? Is he a treasure hunter? Is he a hero? He doesn't fit the mold that even Smaug the dragon expects for him. And that's important later on because Smaug is confused and he doesn't eat Bilbo right away, but instead talks to him when he goes back in there. And again, that's taken from Beowulf. Tolkien found a way to use material from Beowulf. Tolkien also realized, maybe at this point, maybe early on, that he could incorporate Old English or Old Norse into his stories by changing the spellings but keeping the words the same, by making them look like normal English words. So, for example,